Good morning, Mr. Wrestler.
Oh, hi, Michael. How are you?
I am well, sir. And good morning to you, our loyal listeners, as we welcome back everybody to, what is this, Derek? Season 47 of Cheaters Never Win, I think.
I don't know. You keep adding to the number, so I've really lost track of what's real and what's fake at this point.
I think that's pretty much basically every Carolina Hurricanes fan going into every season. I mean, have we basically lost track of what's real, what's fake? Did last season actually happen? Is the Green Lion just robbing people? I mean, like, it still feels kind of surreal. So for those of you who are listening, and it may sound a little bit different, Derek and I are remote this morning. Adulting is taking precedent today, but we wanted to get back into your ear holes with this, a training camp edition of Cheaters Never Win. It is about 9:30 on a Sunday morning for those looking for their live endgame updates. Live endgame update, I'm drinking Irish coffee out of a Section 328 mug, which I'll be reviewing at the end of this podcast. So if we just completely spiral, it's on me this week, Derek.
Per usual.
Yeah. So, Derek, let's go ahead and kick it off. What are you most excited about going into the 2019-2020 training camp? Not the season. What are you just most excited about training camp?
Oh, gosh. I was ready for the season. But I think with training camp, what's really exciting is how much we have on defense. I'm really curious to see what Jake Gardner brings in camp. I'm really curious to see, is there a place for Prisky, assuming he's not hurt too badly? Is there a place for Hayden Fleury that's not in the press box? Is Roland McEwen ever going to be that guy that, you know, we were so happy to get in the Andre Sekera trade, what feels like 19 years ago? And the fact that we actually have an open spot at forward, I think, for now, and I really want to see what Natchez can do, what Gauthier can do. There's just, it's nice that there are battles for specific spots and we don't have to, you know, do what we did from 2007 to 2012, which is pencil in our highest draft pick to the second line and then watch him flounder.
Well, that, and go ahead and put Chad LaRose on that top line, because, you know, team grit and grind on the top line.
No, Mike. It's passion and pride this year.
I know. I love the names. I love how Brendy's kind
of. Do you?
I do. I'm all in. I am fully bought in. If Rod Brindamore told me to poop rainbow shit, I would do my best to do it. Just because I am bought into everything that man. Like, I would just go on a straight diet of like Funfetti Dippin' Dots or something, in just an effort to just deliver to our coach and savior, Rod Brindamore. But no, in terms of me, I'm looking at a couple of things. I think you hit it out of the ballpark when you talked about the training camp battles, because there are legitimately spots on this team. And as we kind of go through the podcast, I think we'll eventually start to put together, like, what might the lines look like and that type of thing. And there are just distinct battles that people can come into this camp and win. That bottom pair on defense, how does that shape up? Maybe even more interestingly, how does Rod Brindamore want to see that bottom pair? Is that going to be more of a penalty killing pair, you know, more penalty killing guys? Is that going to be guys who fit into more of the mold of the top four, who, you know, all contain, you know, good puck moving defensemen? Where does all of this play out? And does top four include Justin Faulk? I think is kind of a fun, interesting question. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing who plays with what, where, when, why, and how. And Rod Brindamore once again showing why we know nothing of hockey, and he knows everything. So I think I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing the fan reaction too, because we had such a just a huge, massive swell of new fans, new season ticket members, new everything there at the end of the season. When the Carolina Hurricanes kick off the home preseason slate, are we going to see 4,000 people on that first game, or is there going to be a little bit of a groundswell of folks going, man, I really want to see what some of these young guys have, and really start to build that? So I don't necessarily know what to expect. I can tell you the building's going to be packed out for Caniac Carnival, because those tickets sold out quick.
So here's my thing. Is it actually a sellout when the tickets are free?
Yes? Question mark?
Okay. It's just one of those logistical things. I'm like, is it really a sellout if everything was given away? But either way, it's fantastic. And can the Canes, if they're going to do this again next season, please get a new site that doesn't crash when you're getting a rush of people?
So
like, that would be awesome.
I can actually give you a little bit of the dirty, because I talked to some unnamed people with inside the Canes organization and asked that very question when our very own Mr. Workrate and myself had the opportunity to go to Media Day. And believe it or not, that site, which doesn't say Ticketmaster, I believe it is Spinzio, actually worked fine. The issue was Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster actually is the back end for the Spinzio and Ticketmaster, as they did last year, even though Ticketmaster said they were going to beef up everything and be prepared for that. They did not beef up as well as they should have, and yet they crashed again. So my instincts are they beefed up based upon the expected want of tickets last year, but didn't take into account everything and the new growth that the Canes had from new season ticket members and everything else. So if you had, 20,000 people trying to get tickets at the same time last year, they probably budgeted for 20,000, and now all of a sudden you've got 35,000 because more people want to go and more people want to see and more people are interested. So it's just a failure. Let's blame Ticketmaster.
I am always happy to blame Ticketmaster.
Always happy to blame Ticketmaster. Yeah, I'm just excited for all that. And you know what, Derek? How about this? We're gonna start the podcast off this. It is officially before 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm about a third of the way through my Irish coffee. Let's give away some tickets for the first 5 people who respond to a tweet or send us a tweet that says, "Damn it, I want my tickets." Just that. And then tag Section 328, I will send you a pair of tickets that will be available to you at will call for the Wednesday night game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the first 5 people who respond, tweet us at Section_328 with "damn it, I want my tickets" at Section 328, you'll get them. All we need is an email, and you can pick them up at will call. So boom, there you go. Look at us. First podcast of the season, Derek, giving away hundreds of dollars of tickets to our good friends because we've missed you, we love you, and we can't wait to see you back in the PNC Arena.
This will not happen for every game.
No.
I want to make that very clear to everyone. We are not the Andrew Yang of Carolina Hurricanes podcasts. We're not just giving stuff away.
That reference falls on me, Derek, and a reference that'll miss for a lot of people who listen to this podcast. Hit that damn X button.
Yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike. That other guy's name's Derek. Brought to you this week by the Caniac Realtor herself, Dawn from Fathom Realty. You can check out Dawn at becauseitshome.com. Join us over at section328.com for all of the latest in hockey snark, Hurricanes previews, and long-winded things by Tom. Folks, welcome back. We appreciate this. We appreciate our sponsors. A big shout out to returning sponsor this year, Dawn Meyer from Fathom Realty. She is the @Caniac_Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
We don't have a guest this week, so there will not be a Dawn from Fathom Realty guest line. But we want to make sure that if you are listening, if you are looking for a home, if you are looking to sell your home, if you are in a place where your rent just went up 1,000% because they want to tear down your house to build a new 97,000 unit condominium building, maybe reach out to that @Caniac_Realtor. That is Dawn Meyer, and she will hook you up. We actually know somebody who got in a bad situation this summer, who they were like, "Oh yeah, your month-to-month lease is fine," and then somebody wanted to buy their house, and like, "Oh yeah, we need you to sign a new 3-year lease," and Dawn found them a house, like, a really amazing, and got it from start to finish in like under 45 days. So, phenomenal. Thank you to Dawn for coming back as another year sponsor for the Cheaters Never Win podcast. And we'd also like to say a huge shout out to potential future sponsors. We're looking to you, beer company, who we love dearly, who I will eventually get you something so that way we can finalize this partnership.
And also, if you want to check out Dawn, go to becauseitshome.com.
Yes, becauseitshome.com. That's where you find Dawn, or over on the Twitters @Caniac_Realtor. Dawn, respecting the underscore. Derek, wanted to let's back up for a second. We came into this preseason off of a huge offseason for the Carolina Hurricanes. We talked to John Forslund and about a few things about that. But as we look at this offseason, I'm almost in shock, right? Because this has been an offseason, and this is going to sound really awful, and I hope I don't jinx this, but this is what I do. I haven't been this excited about an offseason since we signed Alexander Semin.
Like, I want to laugh at that, but I remember how excited we all were and how good he was for those first 30, 40-ish games.
Yeah.
Like that was a lot of fun. When we talked to John Forslund, we already had Dzingel signed. We already had Eric Halla under contract here because we traded for him.
But there was another move that happened. Every time you mention Eric Halla, all I hear is Scott Steiner. And I know it's way too early in this podcast and this season to be making wrestling references. But at some point this season, we're going to make a new T-shirt that is basically going to have Eric Halla putting someone in the Steiner recliner, right? I mean, that's got to be a T-shirt at some point, right? Eric Halla, if you hear me.
Scott Steiner ideas. And I don't think anybody wants to go down that wormhole right now.
Okay.
So, Mike, last week we signed Jake Gardner, you know, because why not? So here's a question for you. Who is currently our fifth best defenseman?
So if we are ranking, are we putting them in like pairs, or are we just saying overall quality of defenseman?
You pick.
Okay, let's do a ranking. If I'm ranking our defenseman, I am going to put while he did not have a great season maybe last year as we would have hoped at times, I am still putting our best overall defenseman as number 74, Jacob Slavin. I think Jacob Slavin has future Norris candidate all over him still. So I'm going to put Jacob Slavin at one. I'm going to put museum goer Dougie Hamilton at two. See, this is where things get weird. I'm not really here to
pick things apart between three and four. I'm really just setting this up to the fact of the name you're going to put at five is going to be a damn good defenseman.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm almost like, based upon his play last season, I'm still putting Justin Falk at three. I'm going to put Brett Pesce at four, and I'm putting Jake Gardner at five.
So Jake Gardner, who I think Dom Lachizen's model has a first pair defenseman, is our fifth best defenseman.
I mean, offensively, he is absolutely better than Brett Pesce. But when I think of quality of defensemen who have a great game, as Mr. Workway refers to him, Brent Peach is a peach. And I don't know if I can take a guy who, while amazing on the power play and had a really good run for the last couple of years in Toronto, when we're talking about pure defensemen, is going to be better than Brent Peach.
I absolutely agree. I mean, their games could not be much more different. But the fact that a guy who in his last three seasons has a combined, let's do the math, carry the one, 125 points is currently slated to be maybe on our third pair. That's stupid.
Well, no, I mean, you look at last year, I mean, our third pair included Calvin DeHaan. So let's talk a little bit about this, Derek. For all intents and purposes, if you look at just money and potential slot in the lineup, if I would have told you we were going to make a trade, Calvin DeHaan for Jake Gardner, would that make this team better? Isn't that the question, right? Are we a better team with Calvin DeHaan or Jake Gardner? And if you look at our issues last year, right? Our biggest issues probably last season all revolved around the power play. Jake Gardner makes our power play significantly better. He is a power play quarterback who can get in there and do things that Calvin DeHaan was never going to do on the power play. Calvin DeHaan played really good on the penalty kill. He had a great first pass out. But I think there's other guys who can do that and fill that role.
Well, but I think some of those power play issues, especially with whoever's going to be running the point on the power play, were self-inflicted wounds. I mean, how long were we all clamoring for Dougie to get more power play time? So we've had guys who can run the power play. It's a matter of getting them out there so Justin Faulk doesn't have to play a minute 53 of every 2 minutes on that power play.
Well, again, and I think this is one of the things we confuse, right? I would not consider Justin Faulk a power play quarterback. I consider Justin Faulk a guy who incorrectly has a really good slap shot, who doesn't have a really good slap shot, who, if he used his wrister more, would be one of the more valuable defensemen in the National Hockey League. If you're listening, Justin, stop it with the Eric Cole commemorative slap shot over the crossbar and use that wicked effing wrister that you've got. I know Justin Faulk, longtime listener, first time caller. But I don't see him as a guy who is a power play quarterback. I see Jake Gardner more as that guy who can see the ice and lays out one to two passes ahead of time, which I don't even know if Dougie Hamilton's that guy, right? Because we haven't had a chance really to see him in that role with this team. So the fact of we have somebody who I think maybe could be a potential power play quarterback, maybe what we need to do is get Steve Dangle back on the podcast and have him talk a little bit about Jake Gardner and what it feels like to be $13 million over the salary cap a couple of weeks before the season. But I don't know.
If we're gonna have Steve Dangle on, we have to ask him nothing but James Reimer questions.
Okay, so let's divert here. Let's take a sidebar for just a second. As I said, Mr. Workerade and I were at Media Day. We asked some good questions. We had some stuff. I need to get out some of the audio that's already well dated. But really, the only two guys we had a significant time to talk to were Peter Mrazek and James Reimer. And we talked to Reimer about the differences between being in the center of the hockey universe and then being in Florida and here. And he had some really interesting things to say around how it's important to engage with the fans much more in those areas than it is in places like Toronto. But after we turned off the recorders, I said, do you mind if I ask you a question? He's like, no, shoot. And I said, have you ever been accosted by Steve Dangle? And he's like, define accosted. And I was like, that's all I needed to hear. So the fact that he knew Steve, and he's like, no, Steve's a really great guy. And I'm like, yeah. We're big fans of Steve, but you know, I don't know if we've earned the right to start referring to you as Optimus Rhyme yet, but all you have to do is get one win and we're basically bringing Transformers to every game. He thought it was funny, but the fact that he knew who Steve was and knew Steve's man crush on him was quite amusing.
Oh yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
So go ahead, Derek.
I'm pulling up power play points by defenseman, and I'm kind of surprised on this. It looks like over the last three seasons, Justin Faulk is 23rd in the league in power play points, which I would have thought he'd be a little bit higher than that. He's the highest on our team right now. Dougie Hamilton has 33 power play points over the last three seasons. And where Jake Gardner is tied with him at 33 points.
But was Jake Gardner getting first power play time in Toronto? I guess he was. I mean, well, I know Morgan Riley is. Oh, here's the question: since you know we do such great show prep, is Morgan Riley ahead or behind of Jake Gardner?
Morgan Riley is 16th in the NHL at 51 power play points.
Exactly.
Over the last 3 years.
So Gardner was stuck in that second power play quarterback role, and he's not getting the chance to play with Tavares and Marner and Matthews, which can help. So I don't know. That's just mentally kind of where I'm at. And then it's going to be interesting as we look kind of at that sixth row. I mean, if those were our five and Justin Faulk sticks around, and we'll get to that in a second, you've got guys like, you've got TVR, who is coming back at some point. Don Waddell came out this week and said he doesn't expect him to start the season. There's no reason to rush him back from that shoulder injury. Let him make sure he's got plenty of time to heal. He expects a very long season. But then you've got guys like Hayden Fleury. Derek, have you been reading some of the Hayden Fleury press from the last couple of days?
I've been following Sarah Sivian's Twitter account and seeing, like, apparently Hayden Fleury is coming in with a massive chip on his shoulder.
Not only a massive chip on his shoulder, shout out to Siv and all of the folks at the Athletic Carolina. If you're not subscribed, do it. But Hayden Fleury is coming in, and I guess the way I read it was he had a conversation with his folks over the summer, and they said, you know, you're always at, we see you out there and you're having fun and you're always playing with a smile. You know, it could probably do you better if you were a little bit more intense and maybe you brought another level of kind of attitude and mean to the game. And Rod Brind'Amour responded with, oh, really? He said that. Good. He's growing. That's what we need. So maybe Hayden Fleury comes in with a little chip on his shoulder and a little attitude in his back pocket, because the guy that I lovingly refer to, and I would never say this to his face because he would probably cross-check me in mine, the guy I lovingly refer to as Chicklets, it would just, you know, if that guy can go out there and start laying the lumber and being a really, really tough-nosed third-pair defenseman as, what was he, the eighth pick in the draft in Philadelphia, I believe,
I want to say seven?
Seven, eight, right in there. Somewhere right in there. That would be great for us because then you know, you've still got Chase Prisky. You've still got, like, as you said, former first-round draft pick of the Los Angeles Kings, Roland McEwen. You've got Jake Bean still floating around out there.
Because Hayden Fleury's a big boy.
Yeah. No, he is, he is as the kids would say, slightly swole.
Let's see here. Looking at the Canes training camp roster, they have him listed at 6'3", 208 pounds.
Yeah, I'm not picking a fight with the kid.
No.
No. So, I mean, I think from a defensive standpoint, so let's take this out, Derek, and what happens if 27 is removed from the lineup? If you're listening to this podcast and this is the first you've heard of Justin Faulk trade rumors, how the hell did you find us and what the hell are you doing with your life? Massive week in Kaniakville because as Jake Gardner was signed, all of a sudden you've got a guy who can play on the power play who is legitimately a top four National Hockey League defenseman, and you've got a guy who is potentially a Olympic level caliber defenseman who's played in all-star games for the Carolina Hurricanes. Potentially in your third pair with Justin Faulk. So the trade rumors abounded. Everybody got excited this week. Justin Faulk has a 15-team no-trade clause, and one of the teams who was wanting to trade for him happened to be on his no-trade list. So, Derek, without going into the trade and all of that, how comfortable are you with this team trading away a potential top four defenseman to bulk up what is already seemingly a very stacked forward lineup?
I'm very good with it because I think it doesn't make sense to have a guy on your third pair getting $4 million. I don't think that that's necessary, especially with the guys like you mentioned, Fleury, Bean, McEwen, that are in the pipeline. Like, I don't expect McEwen or Bean to make a big impact this year, but they need to have that opportunity to grow, and I have Cap Friendly up. I thought TVR was the most forgotten man on this payroll, but I think that might have to go to Gustav Forsling. You could show me a picture of Gustav Forsling, I would have no idea who that is. It could even have Forsling on the back of his jersey. I'd be like, yeah, still not 100% sure. So apparently he's a guy the Canes liked. They got him in the DeHaan trade. He's 6 foot, 186. He's only 23 years old. Like, that's a decent guy to have on your third pair. So I think there's still a lot of opportunity there. And then what you get back from a forward, you know, they talked about with Anaheim, it might be for Andre Casa. Holy shnikes, that would make our forwards so good. Like, it's so weird, Mike. You talked about it earlier. We're excited. Like, you look at the forwards we have, and good God, like, Sebastian Aho is a legitimate star in this league now. And while we don't have, you know, another player of his caliber, you know, like Colorado has.
Shut your mouth. You shut your mouth right now.
Not this season.
Yeah, no. Yes, we do. Yes, no, we do. Yes.
We have another guy who's going to put up 80 points this season?
Yes.
Who?
Andrei Svechnikov.
I love Svechnikov. Trust
Svech. Me. Yes. All Svech. I am all in on Svech.
You think he's putting up 80 this year?
I think Svech is potting 40.
Ooh.
40. Ooh. 4-0.
I'm here for it, and I'm here for the conversation that maybe in a couple years, he's a star player, but I think he could have a breakout year. He could put up 60 points, and that's a damn good season. But we have a lot of guys now who are floating between that 40 and 60 point projection this season. Like, we have darn near three lines of guys who could put up 40 points each, and that is incroyable.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous, right? I mean,
we're really talking about a fourth line here, where we loved what Lucas Walmark had last year. We loved what Warren Fogle had last year. We all love Jordan Martinook. Those guys might be your fourth line.
So let's talk a little bit of that, Derek. If you are, I'm gonna walk over here to the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters whiteboard. Let's put together some lines. We know the first two on the first line, right? We're going Teuvo Aho. Are you slotting in on the other side of Teuvo and Aho to start the season against Leabeto before the first preseason game has ever been played? Let's do this. Let's do our lineup right now together with all of our friends, and then on October 3rd, let's look at just how wrong we were.
Okay, go ahead and just put Nino on that top line.
Okay, so you're going for Nino Niederreiter. So you are going with TT, AHO, and double N for the first line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, Derek, I like this. And we may differ a little bit. So I'm writing down both. Let's go for you. What's your second line?
And we're doing this with the roster as constructed today.
As constructed today, not with Andre Kasha on the first line where he belongs. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so second line, I mean, Jordan Staal is your second line center.
Okay.
Go ahead and put Svech with him.
Okay.
And third is Engel up there.
Okay. All right. I got you. I'm with you.
Third line, Eric Halla is your third line center.
Halla.
Go ahead and put Party Nachos on his wing.
Okay.
And this is where it gets a little tricky. I mean, McGinn? I don't know. Where would you go with this one, Mike?
No! Don't you get me into your filth of lies?
Oh, okay.
You have to.
Go ahead and put McGinn there then.
Okay. Okay.
And then a fourth line, Walmart centering McLovin and Marty Party.
Walmart, Fogle, and Marty. Okay. All right. So that is your team as you see it right now. So, folks, I just want to make sure you've got this. So, your first line is going to be Aho, Nino, Teuvo. Second line, Jordo, Dzingel, Svech. Third line of Nachos, Halla, McGinn. Fourth line, Walmart, Fogle, Marty. So, you don't have a single guy surprising and jumping into camp or jumping into this team.
Who are they going to take out?
That's a great question, right? Great question.
I take it by the tone in your voice, Mike, that you disagree.
I disagree just because Andre Kasha is going to be on that first line. But let's go here.
I was not allowed to do that, Mike, per the rules you put in place.
Derek, I'm a habitual line stepper. You may not know this about me. Let's go ahead and finish this up then. Who is your backup goaltender backing up 34, Peter Mrazek?
Ooh.
Oh.
Again, if we have to say as currently constructed, then it's James Reimer.
Okay. Well, just because of contractually and everything else, I think you're probably right. All right, so I'm going to go Aho. I'm going to go TT. And as much as I want to put Nino there, I feel Nino played so well with Aho, and he's that kind of bigger go to the center guy. I really want to disagree there, though, because I think Nino was maybe a little overslotted last year. I'm going to mix this up a little bit. I'm going to go Tavo, Aho, Dzingel. I'm going to put Dzingel on that top line and give us another piece of speed on that top line. Second line, I'm going to go Giordo, Svech, Nino. I want Nino to actually go out there and create a little bit more space for Svech, because Nino is going to go to the front of the net, and it's going to give Svech that chance to really rip that little wrister that he's got that just gives me feels. And I won't say exactly where he gives me feels, but you all know. Third line, I'm going Hala, Natchez, Gauthier.
All right.
I think Gauthier kills it in camp. I think this is the year where I think Julian Gauthier is this year's Lucas Wallmark. And then I'm going to put down a fourth line of Wallmark, Marty, McGinn. I think last year's darling of the month of October, Fogel, might get beat out by Julian Gauthier this year. I don't know why. I know that I just see him as such a big body who did so well and learned so much last year, particularly through the AHL playoffs. I think Julian Gauthier has an absolute chance to make this team. I'm probably wrong, but I could not go with the exact same lineup that you did, because that's no fun for anybody. Yeah. So, I mean, for the hashtag content, you know, the other guy who could come in and just really blow the doors off this, and I think this is going to surprise some people. I'm really interested to see, because Rod Brind'Amour loves putting people in positions where they thrive best, right? So if we look at like that third line, Hala, Natchez, Gauthier. Hala, Natchez, all of the speed, and then Gauthier can absolutely go to the front of the net, as McGinn can as well. But if I kind of look at this fourth line of right now as I have it pulled together, which is Wallmark, Marty, McGinn, I think there's potentially a spot there for a guy who's going to fight his ass off, and that's Clark Bishop. Bish played really well when he was up last year, and had he not gotten hurt, I think he was that guy who was going to get more call-ups as people got hurt. He's probably the first guy up from Charlotte, but I think Clark Bishop has something really to give the bottom three on this team. And that's interesting, right? Because we don't just have, I mean, you've got Gauthier is a middle six guy. Bishop is a bottom three guy. And Rod Brind'Amour showed last year maybe this is a different question, Derek, is the Canes' biggest mistake over the last 4 to 5 years bringing up people from the minors and putting them in a spot where they have absolutely no chance to succeed?
No, that's been the Canes' biggest problem for 15 years.
We'll refer to that as the coach, the curse of Paul Maurice.
Oh, absolutely. Hashtag free boy Chuck.
Yeah, free boy Chuck.
I wonder if that's a problem that affects a lot of other teams as well. I mean, I'm not as keyed into the AHL rosters for other teams, and if it's something that they do as badly as the Canes, or if we had been an outlier, taking a young forward who has a good shot and good hands and making them, you know, learn defense on the fly by playing 6.5 minutes a game on the fourth line. But I know it's certainly been a problem for this team. And Clark Bishop is a good call-up. He's got decent size, but he just bores me. And that's not a problem for a fourth line guy, right? But I'm just like, who gets excited about Clark Bishop? Show of hands.
Pat Clark just jumped.
You know, I mean, I know Clark Bishop is not here to score, but last year in Charlotte, he had 38 games, 6 points. In the playoffs, 16 playoff games with the Checkers, 3 points.
But fill your role, Derek.
Not what he's there to do. Huh?
Fill the role, Derek. If I've learned anything from professional wrestling, and basically I've learned everything from professional wrestling, it is you are to know your role. as future president of the United States, Dwayne Johnson told me, Mike, your role, know it. Clark Bishop knows his role. He understands his role on this team.
But when you throw out things like Svechnikov scoring 80 points this year, I didn't know that we were here for measured ideas and reasonable expectations for this season. I thought we were just saying silly shit for fun times.
But here's the thing, right? And I don't think it's not going to be 5-on-5. I think Svech has earned first power play. So, Derek, let's take your lineup. Give me that PP1. I'm not worried about PP2. Give me your PP1. Wow, that someone's gonna clip out. Give me your PP, and I'm gonna hate that at the first tailgate of the season. But anyway, yeah. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh gosh.
See,
my ideal: Aho, Turbo, Nino, Svech, and Dougie.
Oh God, make it stop, Derek.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, like if you put Svech out there in that position, and that's probably right, but I'm probably going to say you're going to have to swap Gardner for Dougie, just because we have never seemed to get that right. And, you know, then you know, that second power play is going to be something like, if it's either Gardner or Dougie, Faulker, if Faulker's still here, and then you're rolling out Jordo, Dzingel, and Jordo, Dzingel, and Natchez.
Okay.
I mean, that's beef with Jordo, speed with Dzingel, Natchez with, if you guys haven't seen it, just go back in, just type in, go to Google and look up Bean and Natchez on the power play, and Jake Bean feeding Natchez in the OV spot is just a sight to behold. He doesn't have, you know, no one else has the Alexander Ovechkin shot, but man, if he's not great in that spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Natchez is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the guy that we're sitting here going, you know, we have to replace the 40-plus points that Justin Williams had last year. I think we've done it in spades, right? I think if you look at what we've done with Dzingel and Natchez and Holla, that more than replaces the guys that we've lost.
Yeah, the point production replacing Williams and Ferland is absolutely taken care of, but the leadership, the camaraderie, the intangibles that Justin Williams brought, I'm curious to see who's going to step up and do that. Jordan Martinook is going a long way towards being that unifying guy in the room that just puts us, you know, he's putting smiles on faces, damn it.
Well, not only that, and you know, I had mentioned this to a couple other friends. I mean, and the kindler, gentler side of Section 328 social media, Raleigh Monkey over on Facebook, even mentioned this to me. It seems like the guys who are with the team now and with the team this year, it feels like there's been this weight lifted off their shoulders from, you know, the dog days, as Justin Faulk referred to them, of the dark years. But it seems like the level of happy fan interactions and not just, oh gosh, I have to go do this again, has markedly increased. I mean, I was I ran with Team Dad Bod and a bunch of other 328ers and random folks at the 5K this past weekend, and I say ran in quotation mark. It was more of a jog with a very light J. But the guys who were out there just seemed really, really happy. And they stuck around and they talked with fans for quite some time. And that hasn't necessarily always been the case. And these guys, the level of camaraderie, it feels new. It feels fresh. It feels different. There's this relationship already with Marty Natchez and Peter Mrazek as two Czech guys.
Can they cruise? Can they cruise successfully in tight slacks?
Absolutely, wearing custom airbrushed hats. But I could say this, as I had the opportunity to look in on one of the players' lunches at Media Day, and there was two players sitting alone together at a table, just having a quiet, peaceful lunch, talking to each other. Derek, if I were to say who were those two people, could you guess who they were? And it brought such a smile to my heart.
She said having a quiet, peaceful lunch.
Just together, just the two of them, like a bunch of other players at a table, but just these two guys just quietly catching up with each other and having a nice lunch together.
Please be Dougie and Slavin.
It was Dougie and Svetch.
Oh, man. Okay.
The relationship between those, as John Forslund said on the last podcast, that those two guys have just this very fun relationship. It's just interesting to see that these guys are legitimately really, really close friends. And it was just so nice to see. And I feel like part of that is what Justin Williams did. But you also look at what Jordan Martinook has done. You know, Jordan Martinook over the summer said, hey, let's get together for a beer with a guy who was having a birthday. Guess what? He showed up at the Oak and had beers and hung out with everybody. It wasn't a team-sponsored event. It was just like, hey, let's get together with some fans and have a little bit of a good time. It seems like more and more of that type of thing is happening. You're seeing more guys interested. Now, the flip side of that is there's more people in Raleigh who are interested in hockey, who are more focused on what's going on, and they know more of the players. But we have this young infusion of players who haven't been, dare I say, tainted by the likes of former captains who may not have wanted to do anything because they just wanted to run home to their house in North Raleigh. It just seems like there's this new breath of fresh air around this entire organization, and I think part of that's Rod Brindamore. I think part of it is Tom Dundon and his focus on the fans. And I think part of it is just the caliber of dudes that we have here who are just a little bit more comfortable in their own skin and a little bit more comfortable interacting with fans. And as you said, Marty is leading that party. For those of you who are still listening to the podcast who haven't gotten bored yet, I can confirm that Mark Martinook will be at the opening season tailgate.
He may have more than two 12-ounce drinks.
I can tell you this. He'll be wearing his Marty Party t-shirt. Available only at section328.com/store.
By the merch. So, okay. Well, there we go, Mike. All set. I think the last question that needs to be settled, and it may be settled before the first preseason game. I don't know what Brindamore's timeline is. Who will be that captain?
I think it's easy. I think it's Sebastian Aho.
Yeah?
I don't think you can go back to Jordo, right? Because been there, done that. He's on the backside. As we've heard from multiple people inside the organization, no one hates losing more than Sebastian Aho. While he may look like the nice, sweet, mild-mannered Finn, no one dislikes losing more than Sebastian Aho. And I think that aligns with what Rod Brindamore expects. I think Rod Brindamore needs somebody who can be fiery at the right times. No one would ever accuse Justin Williams of being fiery. But I think Justin Williams trained Sebastian Aho last year to be the guy. And we have heard from Tom Dundon that Sebastian Aho is the guy. He is the centerpiece of this franchise. He is the guy. You could pick Jacob Slavin. I think the other part of that is I love Jacob Slavin. I would have no problem with him being captain. I think with Jacob Slavin, though, you're going down the path of having Eric Staal as your captain again, whereas you're getting a young family guy who is focused as much on his family and spending time with his family and focused on other things, you know, has priorities outside of hockey that are very important to him. Whereas Sebastian Aho is a younger guy who gets the fans excited. I know it's important to have the right guy in the room, and I think Justin Williams earned that by having so many Stanley Cups. I just can't see it being anybody other than Sebastian Aho. Can you?
I can. I mean, I could see it being Slavin. I could see it being Jordan Staal, even.
Explain to me why Jordo.
Because it's there. But I'm not in the camp that I want Jordan Staal to be the captain. But, you know, he's the veteran on the team now. I think he's the oldest guy on this team. I don't really know. But I could just see them going that way. Yeah, he's the old man of the forward core. I can see them going that way, but I like the idea of Aho to keep the troll theme alive. Like, when they do an opening night rosters and they bring every player out and they introduce him to the crowd and the captain is always last, and to do that against Montreal, come on, man. You want that moment.
Oh, yes. We want Jay Gardner introduced just before him.
And when the C is on Aho's sweater, can we put a tiny H in it opening night?
Stop it. Just stop it. I love you. I love you. You're a beautiful effing soul. Yeah. So let's wrap it up here, Derek. We've been rambling for a little bit. Thanks everybody for listening. Again, thanks to Don Meyer at the Caniac_Realtor for her continued sponsorship of the podcast. Let's talk a little bit about opening night, Derek. We're still working on opening night tailgate. We'll have that out probably a week or so prior. Just know we're going to be doing something. It'll probably start in the 4 to 5 hour range or 4 to 5 o'clock range, and we look forward to seeing everybody out there. But opening night will be the Montreal Canadiens, sitting directly above Section 328 in their glass-enclosed booth is the management for the opposing team. Folks, I can tell you this. If you were sitting in Section 327, 328, 326, or 329, we will be serenading them in French for a good portion of the first period. And then when Sebastian Aho scores his opening night hat trick, and Jake Gardner has three of those assists, the level of vitriol that is going to come out of my mouth for Marc Bergevin.
The level of what?
Vitriol. Sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Sorry. Trying to read here.
Here's the thing, though. Vitriol. Wouldn't it be funnier if we got a thank you Bergevin chant going?
Well, I like that. No, but I mean, that's kind of vitriol, isn't it?
No, I legitimately want to thank him for making things so much easier so we didn't have to go down the Mitch Marner road or any of the big name still unsigned RFAs. Like, we're not in that position because he gave us the easiest offer sheet to match.
Yeah, it was great. I just know opening night's going to be fun. We are less than 3 weeks away from opening night, only 5 days away from the first preseason tailgate. Again, if you listen to this whole podcast in its entirety, you know that we're giving away five pairs of tickets. If you haven't listened to the podcast in the entirety and you missed that, go back and re-listen, download it a second time because it helps our stats. Maybe even better, make sure that you're subscribed, make sure that you're rated and reviewed, Cheaters Never Win, on whatever your podcast platform of it is, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook, Friendster, I don't know.
We do have some cheat mail to get to.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go to the cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. That's a lot harder. That's a lot harder to do when we're not in the same room, by the way.
We kind of covered the what do you think opening night lines will look like with and without Kasha. So that's there. Got one from our longtime listener, Will Looper.
Hey, Will, also a member of Team Dad Bod, who ran a solid race in the 5K, raised some nice funds for the Canes Community Foundation, or Canes Give Back, so shout out to Will Looper.
Should the parade go around the arena or through downtown Raleigh this coming July?
Actually, I think the parade should go down... I think the parade should actually go down Queen Street in Toronto. And then we should airlift everybody to Montreal and then just basically have the parade go by Mark Bergevin's house. I mean, isn't that who we should be? You know, isn't he the friend we made along the way? Derek, this one comes in from our buddy Andy Cullen, Mull the drummer. Andy, who I had a chance to actually meet when I went to Ireland this summer. Shout out to Irish fans who are listening to this. And shout out to Andy for just being awesome. Will Fleury score gold this year before he gets replaced by Jake Bean?
Yes, because he will have plenty of games to do it. And as you pointed out, he's playing angry, and I like it.
Yes. Fleury is not going to suffer the same fate as Steve Halka.
Oh, no, we don't.
Long time listeners will get the Steve Halka reference. If not, look it up.
Let's go to Jason Mariani at College Caniac. Who cranks that warning siren opening night for the first, second, and third period? He also asked about the tailgate, so we've got that covered. Second and third period, I mean, we're going to be outside in the concourse celebrating for that one. But let's just go for the first period opening night. Who sounds the siren?
That's easy, right? I mean, let's say it at the same time, Derek, and let's show everybody. We haven't practiced this. Let's just say it. We'll go 1, 2, 3, and then we'll say it at the exact time. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Justin Williams.
I was trying to come up with the most obscure name possible, and I totally blanked out.
I wish you had dropped like an Andy Samberg.
Yeah, like I was gonna say Don Knotts, and then I remember that he died a while ago. Oh God, yeah, that was
Paul Prudhomme. Is he still alive?
Sam Elliott. I think that'd be a good high energy one.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be something if Justin Williams sounded the siren opening night.
Justin Williams has got to sound the siren opening night. Either him or John Cena. Juan Cena. We did the opening line, should the parade. This is a good one from Hunter Tyson 30 at Hunter Tyson 30. Which new Canes player will be the biggest fan favorite? I like that one. Nice question, Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know much about the players' personalities. Like last year, we were informed immediately by Cat Silverman that Canes fans are going to love Jordan Martinook, and that has been absolutely true. I think of new players that's likely to be a fan favorite, I think maybe for reasons that you mentioned earlier, Mike, in that it's fun to yell his last name, Holla.
Holla!
I mean, of new players, I'm going to go with Holla.
I'm going to go Ryan Dezingle. Just because he seems so happy to be here. The other guy who I think could do this would be Jake Gardner. Just because he, you know, when he signed the contract, the Instagram post he put out of his kid wearing the Hurricanes logo on the side of his headgear was just the most adorable thing ever. And guy who just seems super happy to have escaped the center of the hockey universe. So I'm either going to go with Jake Gardner, if he can actually put up some power play production, or Ryan Dezingle, because he's going to be on the first line, and he's going to benefit from being around the Finnish connection. What else we got out there, Derek, for cheat mail?
I got one more from our buddy Turd Ferguson. I'm not going to go into all the detail because we don't want to over-wrestling people, and I think this would be a great 328 tailgate discussion. But if the Hurricanes were to be cast as the NWO, who would play each important role? Let's save that for the tailgate. But what I want to ask you on the podcast here is,
oh, damn it, I was ready for that one too.
You dislike to play the role of Vincent of the NWO, or for you old school WWF fans, Virgil?
Oh gosh, the Vincent or the Virgil of the NWO. Wow, what a great question, Turd. Turd's not listening because he's still crying from UK, you know, falling and missing that field goal to Florida last night. I think it's got to be, it might be Hayden Fleury with just the chip that he's got on his shoulder. And like, he's kind of just been too happy for too long and that type of thing. Maybe it's Hayden. I mean, is Hayden Fleury the guy at the comic? Is Hayden Fleury the guy at the Hall of Fame convention weekend who's charging $45 to sign a picture of himself? And everyone's like, who are you? And he's like, I was a first round draft pick. I was a defenseman for the Carolina Hurricanes. And they're like, no one cares. Maybe it's Hayden Fleury. Who is it for you, Derek?
See, I kind of want to go Bates Battaglia.
Oh, I was just going current players. So are we going all-time players?
No, I said what former player dislike would play the role of Vincent?
Oh, I completely missed that. Oh, that's easy then.
Go for it.
Oh, it's Pavel Brendl.
Oh. Or it could be, as NHL 20 has the Hurricanes alumni team, noted Hurricanes alumnus Adam Hall.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Hall, you know,
he played six games here, and he's almost DFL on our the official Section 328 all-time Hurricanes rankings list.
Yes. Shout out to Nikos Chelios. I, for some reason, I was thinking current. Yeah, that absolutely Pavel Brendl. Adam Hall, another good one. Derek, I think that does it for at least the good cheat mail questions this week. We no longer are doing kind of the beer review of the week. We'll still throw in a few random beer reviews, but since we've parted ways with our good friends over at Bottle Mix, again, shout out to Bottle Mix. They were a great multi-year sponsor of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Feel free to still patronize them and go get all of your beers there, because they are all still good folks. But we're not betrothed to do a beer review of the week. So we're going to throw out ideas. If you have ideas of things you would like to see us review, maybe it's a piece of software, maybe it's a a GIF or a GIF. Maybe it's a new cup of coffee. I don't know. If you have something you'd like us to review, send it out there. We're going to do random reviews until we figure out what the hell we're doing this. Derek, I'm actually reviewing an Irish coffee this morning. Yes.
Irish coffee, huh?
Yeah, it's just a wee bit to the Irish there, lad. I actually had something shipped to me from a friend in Ireland called the Hot Irishman Coffee, where on the side of the bottle it says, fill a coffee cup a quarter full with this, then pour hot boiling water over top of it, and then float some heavy cream on top of it, which I did. It was delightful. It was basically concentrated cold brew coffee with Irish whiskey in the bottle itself, and then you pour some hot water over it to make it hot, and then you float the cream on it, and then as any good Irish coffee, you're supposed to sip the coffee through the cream, which was nice, but it also had a slight sweetness to us because I think they had put some sort of sweetener in there as well. But if you can find it, and you do enjoy kind of a Sunday morning brunch cocktail type of thing, I'm not much of a mimosa guy, but I am a huge fan of the Irish coffee. So if you can find the Hot Irishman, which I don't even know if they sell in North Carolina, much less the States, it is delightful. If you'd like to do it some other way, get Irish whiskey, pour it in a glass, pour coffee over top of it, float some cream on top of it. Irish coffee is not coffee plus Irish cream. That is not an Irish coffee. That is an Irish cream coffee. That is a Bailey's coffee. Call it what you will. An Irish coffee, you have to sip the very hard, very strong coffee and whiskey through the cream, and that's what makes it perfect. If anyone would like to have one of those, I'm sure we've got a early morning tailgate that we'll have on some Saturday this season. I believe there's a 1 o'clock game or something like that at some point on a Saturday. We'll probably be drinking Irish coffees and maybe having steak and eggs.
Ooh. Yeah, like this.
You know, Derek, for a couple of guys who are going into this, like, hey, let's see if we can crank out 30 minutes of content. We're almost at an hour.
Hey, so we're staying on brand. That's good. I'm glad to see we're keeping the streak alive. And I believe this is season 23.
Yes, officially, actually, Derek, this is season 8. Season 8 of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, the reigning, defending, longest running Carolina Hurricanes podcast. If anybody wants to come at us, I'm looking at you, you bitches over at Canes Cast. You know where the 328 Worldwide headquarters is. Let's do this. Until then, thank you for everybody for listening. We look forward to seeing everybody out at the preseason game on the 18th. More importantly, we have more details coming up about the preseason or the Game 1 tailgate, opening night tailgate, and many more Cheaters Never Win coming to you throughout the season because we back, baby. Wrestler, good to have you back behind the mics with me, man. Looking forward to another great season. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here.
Yeah.